This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We cover a lot of different things here of interest around the Umpqua Valley. This is going to be one of those unique conversations because we have Lisa Mensah, President and CEO of the Oregon Community Foundation, spending a few days in Douglas County. Lisa, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
So I guess, first of all, how long have you been at OCF and how'd you end up there?
So I've been at Oregon Community Foundation for just over 2.5 years. And for me, this was coming home. A lot of people called me and said, take a look at this. And I started a little over 2.5 years ago.
So talk about your background, some of the other things you've done.
So I'm an Oregon girl, born and raised. I was born in Portland. Beaverton is home. And I had a deep desire to do good in the world. And it took me east for school. I kind of always wanted to do something. I'm a student body president that never gave up, you know, trying to make things better, and took me to the Obama administration, took me to a long career, but started in banking, actually, and have been fascinated with the way money helps people and communities thrive. So I'm kind of back to my roots, both in Oregon and to a field I love.
So when you were in banking, how many years were you in kind of traditional banking before you moved in the direction you've gone since?
Just a little under 4 years in traditional commercial banking. And then I just went a few blocks away. I was in New York City to the Ford Foundation, where I spent 13 years learning the craft of philanthropy. And I was doing the actual part of philanthropy that was using loans to make rural communities thrive. So I had enough banking to show my way around a balance sheet and a loan and what it takes to make economies move and companies survive. But my real passion was community development, and that's where I've been.
So you could see that there was a lot more than just making money, but what to do with it that would benefit society after you've made it.
Exactly. I think money is a powerful tool, but I'm more fascinated by the things beyond the sale. I like, what do you do with it to make change?
Now, talk about your background growing up in terms of when did this whole area of finance, but also the things you've done since, some people want to be a teacher, want to be a nurse. Yeah. When did you figure out what you thought you wanted to do?
Well, my parents sent me to the berry patch, strawberry picking, so I know the value of a dollar. And it taught me one thing. I didn't want to pick strawberries for a living, and I wanted to get out of the field and do something that would really be strong. And so I think if you would have asked me in high school what I wanted to do, I would have guessed that I would be in policy somewhere, something to probably international. And what became clear to me in my journey is that the bankers and the people that drove the economy really were the ones who shaped possibility for people. And so I wanted to sit somewhere in between those who created wealth and those who created change. And for me, that's philanthropy. It's a great in-between mediator that can help both the private sector and the public sector do good.
Now, while you were in New York City, how long were you at the Ford Foundation?
I was 13 years at the Ford Foundation.
And just so somebody doesn't misread that, that
oh,
is the
that's right.
Ford Foundation.
The other Ford Foundation.
Versus the Ford Family Foundation located
yes,
here.
Yes, exactly. Both doing great work, but different coasts. Yeah.
So talk about some of your work in the Obama administration.
Yeah, I think I had the best job in the Obama administration. I was Undersecretary of Agriculture, and my role in the Agriculture Department was to lead rural development. And that's everything it takes to make rural communities thrive. It's the housing, the small business, the infrastructure, the broadband. I got all those titles and 5,000 people around the country to help make change in rural America, to fight for our rural communities. That was my day job and night job.
So even though you grew up in Beaverton, Alloa, that part of Oregon, what was it about the rural aspect that really drew your attention?
You know, for me, rural areas are a place of beauty. They're a place of family and friends. They are the thriving, beating heart of an economy that needs food and fiber and fuel. And to me, I was always, I grew up in Beaverton in the 60s and 70s. It was not what it is today. It was pretty rural. We raised chickens in the backyard. So I am. It felt more familiar to me. But it also felt truly like the part of our country that needed a better story about why it was so important and why it's so related to the rest of the economy. And I was really excited to make that case for rural America.
Working at that federal level in a very high-profile position, were you still able to get connected directly with, folks on the ground, and you could see that here's how this investment helped this family move forward?
That's the most exciting part of this part of the federal government. The Department of Agriculture has people in every county in America, and they're devoted civil servants. And what I got to see when I traveled through this country, I made it to nearly 40 states in the time I served, was powerful people who lived and worked in their communities making change. And what I was doing was driving money, loans and grants, to build housing, to get water systems up, to get broadband systems up. So I saw the same thing I'm seeing at the Oregon Community Foundation. You can do big things with really good local people who defend and fight for those things. And that was the excitement about this job. It didn't feel like I was sitting in a desk in Washington. It felt like I was really grounded in communities that were fighting for good progress to happen in their backyards.
So talk more about the Oregon Community Foundation in general. What's its focus?
Yeah. Well, you could see that for me, this is a real coming home, not just to Oregon, but to a kind of work I've been passionate about for my whole career. Oregon Community Foundation is Oregon's resource for giving. It truly is a 52-year-old community foundation built by thousands of donors. So it doesn't just have one focus. It has the collective vision of so many givers. We are a huge scholarship maker. We work in education. We work in the arts. We work on questions of rural development, all given by our givers who've set up funds inside of us and then guided by a board of trustees that represents this whole state. So we're in so many diverse areas, and they're representative right here in Douglas County where I've been. A lot of diverse fields. And what's exciting about us is that as a community foundation with more than one giver, we're able to keep growing. So in 52 years, we've gone from a tiny pool, just $63,000, to now carefully managing and stewarding over $4 billion. So we've grown tremendously to serve this state with just a variety of pools of giving.
I imagine if they're still around, and even if they're not, just the idea that you could start with $60,000,
correct,
which seems pretty humble on a
middle
class standard, and build it up to where you are today, yeah, that takes some amazing management.
Yeah, it does take management. Thank you for signaling that. It also takes a commitment to the very long term. Many of our funds, the majority, are endowed. It means we ask our donors to stick with us. They don't know what's coming. They couldn't predict that there would have been a COVID pandemic, back in 1973 when we started. And it means that people have hung in there, setting up funds to last way beyond their lifetimes and for challenges that are unforeseen. And it's an exciting way to build an institution and to be committed to the long term and to the problems that are certainly going to be with us in the future, and to solve a few problems on the way. So it humble beginnings and big impact years later.
How many staff do you have?
We are now at 134 staff members. It's great. We've grown even in recent years. And those staff are located between five different offices. So the bulk in Portland, but Eugene and Medford and Salem and Bend. So it's a great team spread around this state.
And why do you think it's important to have offices in other locations besides right in the heart of downtown Portland?
Yeah, that's our secret sauce. We are really Oregon's foundation. We have local offices so that we can listen deeply, so that we can hire people who live and work in the communities that we make grants in. We bring our board members from all eight regions of Oregon. We are statewide, but deeply local. I like to think it's the way you get a really good front row seat to what's really happening. And we couple that with literally thousands of volunteers that help us review grants, that help us say, what's really happening? What does it look like in my backyard? So that we're steered to make better grant decisions or know what we're aiming for. Know if we tackle a big issue like early childhood, we're hearing from local people. What does it look like locally to me? What does it mean? There are communities where they're not big enough to have a big childcare center. They need home-based daycare. And we hear that locally from our volunteers and our grantees that are right there. So it means a lot to be based locally, to have local staff and local board members, people who can, you know, keep close to the work we're trying to do, to the changes we're trying to make.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Lisa Mensa, President and CEO of the Oregon Community Foundation, the interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. It's 1245 on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 12:47 tomorrow. A look at Umpqua Community College getting ready to wrap up the academic year. And college president Dr. Rachel Pokrant will be on Inside Douglas County. Lisa Mensa, president and CEO of the Oregon Community Foundation, is in. You've been spending some time in Roseburg. Talk about what you've done so far since you've been here.
Well, we have a great team. We were hosted by the Ford Family Foundation, our partner foundation. And yesterday I focused on a fascinating set of institutions that are focused on homeless youth solutions. And they've created an initiative that the youth named the Lotus Pad. It's a collaboration between Peace at Home and Tasha's House and the Family, Faith, and Relationships Advocates. A wonderful collaboration that is already making a powerful difference for some of the youth that are deeply at risk. It was an example of one of these just relentless partnerships that I've heard about in Douglas County, so it's great to see it live. And
what's it take for rural communities to thrive, and how can your foundation help with that?
It's one of my favorite questions about rural communities thriving, because I meet so many people that want to give up. So it takes a lot. It takes everything. It takes first off, it does take a functioning economy. You have to have big engines driving, you know, and it's why things like agriculture were so important. But complementing that, you need all the things that help people thrive. And this is where I think our foundation plays a special role in collaboration with the public and private sectors. You need things for people to thrive, for our kids to thrive. We've got a county here where a lot of the kids are growing up in very low-income households, and they need a place to read. They need people who will pull them, who will point to futures for them. We've got little tiny towns like Glide, where a funder named Ben Serafin, an old rancher, set up a fund. And because of that fund, all the kids in Glide kind of grow up knowing there's someone on their side. They can go to their trade school or community college or four-year college. Somebody's got their back. So when I think about thriving, sure, we need the big engines to move. We need jobs for all people. But we also need people to believe that they have something for them. And we need people who embrace all the surrounds, the arts, the things that make life really joyous. And that's where our foundation plays a key role in partnership.
So it sounds like the foundation has a lot of connections here in Douglas County with people that are funders or even organizations that get your assistance.
We do, both the funders and the givers and receivers. Sometimes they're the exact same people. Douglas County has been a very generous county. Lots of people set up funds. We steward over $100 million of funds right here. And we make grants both from those funds and from other Oregonians and people from the outside who are giving to Douglas County. Douglas County has had some of the nonprofits like Peace at Home that have been real leaders. They helped us do our first Project Turnkey to bring shelter to people in this state at a time after wildfires and after COVID crisis. And this was really acute. And they were really some of the leaders who got it done, who were able to renovate old motels and make them quickly into shelter that was safe and clean and permanent for the needs of this. So I think we've got lead givers and lead doers right here in Douglas County.
For people that are, you know, maybe middle-aged, kind of looking towards the future, maybe they're also in the middle of the middle class, they're not particularly wealthy, but they want to make some kind of long-term impact other than leaving money that may not get used in the best way, at least a part of it. What would you say to them in terms of getting connected to get some questions answered about why maybe setting a fund up is something they could actually do?
I'd say call us. We've got some really great people to talk you through this stage of planning your financial life. And it's part of financial life and planning. It is so important to have real human beings who can talk you through what is it that you really want your legacy to be, you know. And you're right, you don't have to be hugely wealthy to care and to set up funds that can take place both after you're gone, and you can start your giving while you're living. You know, we're talking some of our funds you can start right now. We'll take $5 into our funds to help combat wildfires and flooding. That you can do right now. You can call us up and do that. But when you're thinking a little more broadly about what you want your legacy to be, we've got people who will take time with you to set that up, to talk with you about your next generation. I don't know if that's what it's like for you, but getting your kids interested in this, letting them know we're a good team for that. So think of us as a partner for your giving and a partner who will take the time with you to listen and also to share a little bit about what we've been working on. You might not know about all the scholarships and work that you could join forces on. And we've been good at joining forces since those early $60,000. So that's why I think you should give us a call.
Now, it sounds like along with your day job, if you will, that you're involved in a lot of other things with philanthropy, really, it looks like around the world.
And thanks for asking about that. Yeah, for me, it's good to have a life that keeps you, you know, engaged. I will head out soon for the Feeding America board. I learned so much about the challenges of food insecurity around this country. It's a global challenge, and so I enjoy doing that. For me, Oregon is a place where I think some of our biggest challenges have a shot at being resolved. We have good people here. We're also not a huge challenge. I look at some of the things, we have only got 4 million people in the state, and I can come to a county like Douglas and see people actually solving things. So for me, that's where I like to bring my bigger sense of the challenges of housing and food insecurity and international development, and I can bring it right here home and see a lot of good people solving things right here.
Now, I was looking at an article from Forbes earlier, and you talk about, if I get this right, because I didn't put it in my notes, a proverb from Ghana that sort of has guided some of your work.
It is. My dad taught me this, and he said the proverb that money scattered in a dark place brings light. And I think when he said that, he wanted me not to be afraid of money, and he wanted me to see the positive influences, the light-giving influences. My dad was an immigrant from Ghana who came to Oregon State in the 1950s, and his language was very proverbial, and he taught us proverbs that he knew we wouldn't forget. So you can ask me about it, and I do remember this. Money scattered in a dark place brings light. And it's hard to scatter correctly. That's why I'm in a philanthropy that helps get the money to the hands that can bring the light. But I think that proverb really says a lot about our resources and about not to fear them, but to use them to bring more light.
Now, I've got to ask, do you actually have time for hobbies?
Well, it's a great thing about coming back home to where you grew up. My old choir mates and my old Aloha High School musical leaders have got me singing again, and I've joined a choir. Okay, I don't quite have the high notes I did when I was 18, but it's one of the things that's given me joy is singing again, finding my friends again, being back among people who just love you, even when you miss a note, and it's been fun. We perform in retirement communities. So while I look for my future assisted living, I am joyously singing, and it's been a really fun thing to get back into.
What kind of music are you doing?
Oh, it's also, we are back in the 70s. We are Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, Burt Bacharach, a little Motown. It's all pretty easy, and it's given me a lot of joy.
As we wrap up, what do you think is ahead for the Oregon Community Foundation?
I think our future is to grow our funds so we can say fewer no's to the people that are so creative in this state. I want us to keep growing beyond the $4 billion that has carefully been stewarded so that each of our 36 counties and the creativity that we see inside of these counties, we can answer more dreams. We've had a campaign called What If? And what if we started solving some things? So I want us to be the place where people come and dream with us and say, what if we made a difference right now in our lifetimes and in the future? And so I think growth is ahead for us in some big areas.
Lisa Mintzer, President and CEO of the Oregon Community Foundation. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
1257 and News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.